BBC Audio presents Doctor Who Battlefield by Mark Platt. Read by Toby Longworth. Prologue. 3 sisters bore him down to the boat. Swan-haired and regal, each was crowned with a circlet of silver and robed in weeds of darkest green. Sisters, yet each also a queen from one of the 13 planets. Summoned, even in the final throes of war, to another universe as the prophecy decreed. 2 queens to carry the High King, 1 queen to tend his wounds. The aged king was armored in black with the crest of the Pendragon on his breastplate. Lying still on the pallet, he gazed up into the endless blue of the sky over Avalion. He searched for the corridor gate that led back to the home dimension. But he could no longer focus on the invisible, as Merlin had once shown him. With the bulk of his army scattered, this final battle had become a rout. He had been trying to rally his forces, any forces at all, when out of the smoke came 3 of Morgaine's rabble. 3 grey knights from her personal entourage, fiercely trained and with the arrogance of near victory in their gait. They had circled round him, just out of reach, neither attacking nor parrying, but they laughed mockingly at their lucky catch. He knew they were confining him in a cage until Mordred might arrive to take the glory as the High King's executioner. Where was the honour in that? But what did Mordred have to do with honour? There was no honour even in Mordred's conceiving.
Excalibur,
he had warned the Grey Knights, lifting the fabled blade for them to recognise. Together, he and the weapon were one. Sword and swordsman understood one another and were terrible in the havoc they could wreak. But the knights only backed off a little. Instead, he had made to run, but only to draw the knights back in on him. 3 against 1. Excalibur leapt eagerly out and slew the first 2 with 1 swing that nearly carried the king's arm from its socket. The 3rd knight ducked and brought his sword in low. The blow caught the king on the right knee, slicing into the hydraulic muscle of his armor's joint. The old warrior pitched forward in the mud, but his jeweled sword swung itself back and took off the knight's arm. As the king lay alone and cold, trying to gather his fleeting senses, he had heard the knight weeping in pain. Then there was quiet. No bird sang near the battle. The yells and screams of the fighting had grown more distant. Close at hand, a sudden voice whispered,
"My lord king."
He opened his eyes and saw Bedivere bending over him. The young black-armored knight was helmless. He was pale, and there was a crimson gash across his forehead.
"Water," said the king.
He tried to raise himself, but his armor was lifeless, and he could not manage the effort alone. He felt Bedivere lift him easily in his arms and start to carry him. He swooned. He was weary of fighting. Full weary of the hatred that beset the world like a plague, and weary of Morgaine's endless plans to assert her dark order on them all. A weary and old king. She worked ceaselessly to overthrow him with her black arts. Everything around him was crumbling. Everything he knew and loved was either smashed or stolen. Most of all, he was weary of having to make decisions alone where Merlin once would advise him. But he would never cease to resist her monstrous duplicity. He had smelt the lake before he saw it. The lake on whose banks the Pendragon had once defeated Vortigern the usurper. On the Isle of Apples, away from the world, the willows were burgeoning into new leaf. Avalion in springtime. Yellow flags grew among the rushes at the waterside. He saw them fluttering like battle standards as the 3 women settled him onto a pallet constructed from linen and spear shafts. The prophecy was familiar, but the outcome either eluded him.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?